Boeing and the IAM have a new monthly lunch date. Lawyers are easy to hate, but HBC needs a good one. And the FAA resolves gray areas for some amateur builders. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for the last weekend of 2011. The Seattle Times reports that under the terms of their new extended contract, Boeing and the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers have agreed to participate in a council which will hold monthly meetings. An early goal is to set performance targets for the contract's new bonus plan for employees, but a longer-term goal is to build a new, more collaborative relationship after years of sometimes ugly disputes. Whether the new relationship touted by both sides works out or not, there will at least be a 5-year truce. The revised contract, approved by 74% of Boeing's union machinists, is not amendable now till 2016. The Dallas Business Journal reports 13 plaintiffs have filed suit against the Lynx Simulation and Training Air Traffic Control Academy, based in Denison, Texas, claiming they were charged $41,000 each for training which promised the first 100 graduates would be hired by the FAA as air traffic controllers. At one time, given the publicity surrounding the controller shortage, that may have been a plausible claim. The Academy's official website now promises only that the school, quote, provides you the quickest route to attain your FAA Control Tower Operator Certificate, while the Lynx Simulation and Training Air Traffic Control Academy cannot guarantee employment. The air traffic control field represents one of the best-paying careers not requiring a 4-year degree, unquote. The Academy is a division of L3 Communications, which the paper says could not be reached for comment. The plaintiffs are being represented by two personal injury attorneys from Houston. Monday's crash of a Bell 206 helicopter near Palatka, Florida, during a flight to retrieve a donated heart for a transplant recipient, is still under investigation by the NTSB. Evidence at the scene suggests the helicopter's main rotor made contact with a series of trees on its way down into a heavily forested area used as a hunt club. Weather was described as reduced visibility with some fog. In its coverage of the story, the Associated Press quoted Gary Robb, helicopter safety expert. But Robb is actually a lawyer who has won some punishing verdicts against helicopter operators and manufacturers. Robb infers failure of what he refers to as the discontinued Allison 250 turbine engine and improper aircraft loading as possible causes. If Robb is successful in trolling for plaintiffs, NTSB's factual reporting will not be admissible at any resulting trial. Hawker Beechcraft says it will file suit with a court of federal claims over the unexplained banning of its AT-6 from the government's light air support bidding competition. The contract is valued at nearly $1 billion of U.S. taxpayer money. An exclusion of the AT-6 could result in a de facto award to a non-U.S. company with what appears to be an inferior plane. Hawker Beechcraft CEO Bill Boyster explains, quote, "We are disappointed in the GAO's decision, as we were relying on their investigation to provide transparency into what has been a bidding process of inconsistent, irregular, and constantly changing requirements," unquote. Shortly after noon Wednesday, two F-16s scrambled by NORAD intercepted another clueless pilot flying a general aviation aircraft out of radio contact near the National Capital Region. The civilian aircraft reestablished contact and was allowed to continue on its way without incident, but we all look a little dumber today thanks to whoever this guy was. For reasons yet unknown, a 1989 Waco Classic biplane ended the year with a splash off Sombrero Beach near the Marathon Airport in the Florida Keys. The plane is owned by Conch Air, which advertises air tours, sightseeing, and aerobatic rides, and has a special offer of a free ride to anyone over 100 years of age. The sightseeing flight had three on board when the pilot made a radio call saying the Jacobs radial had failed. The ditching apparently went well, with no injuries and very little damage to the aircraft, but the saltwater bath probably means the plane is toast. The Monroe County Sheriff's Office says the pilot and two passengers declined medical attention after nearby boaters responded and pulled them from the water. Still ahead, two airliners startled passengers with blown tires. A slot swap between airlines will increase net employment at LaGuardia. And the FAA sausage factory grinds out the links slowly. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing and the year 2011. I'm Paul Plagg. There's another new edition of Aero TV's Airborne Weekly News Wrap-Up, which was released this morning. Find a link at the top of our homepage at our main site, aero-news.net. It's great to find an end-of-year blowout at your local car dealer. But on an airline flight, not so much, especially on takeoff. Passengers were described as anxious Tuesday when Southwest Airlines Flight 2287 had both left main gear tires blow as the 737 was departing Sacramento for Seattle. Airport spokeswoman Lori Slothauer tells KXTV the plane aborted the takeoff, there was no fire, and no injuries. Katie McDonald of Southwest adds emergency crews were called in to hose down the 737 as a precaution, and portable stairs were brought in to let the passengers disembark. One runway at Sacramento was briefly closed, but no delays to any other flights resulted. The world's busiest airport had one of its five runways shut down late Wednesday after Delta Flight 418, a Boeing 757 arriving from San Juan, Puerto Rico, blew a tire on landing at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International. FAA spokeswoman Kathleen Bergen told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution the runway was closed about 20 minutes after the pilot of the flight told controllers he would need to bring the plane to a stop on the runway. Despite the incident happening at 11 a.m., there were reportedly no other flights delayed. WXIA-TV reports the plane was towed to the gate and placed back in service after the tire was changed. Delta says there were 172 passengers and six crew members on board. No injuries reported. By the way, we'll have to stop calling Hartsfield-Jackson the world's busiest airport pretty soon. Beijing is supposed to take over that title in 2012. The recently announced trade of takeoff and landing slots at New York LaGuardia and Washington Reagan National by U.S. Airways and Delta has reduced the number of U.S. Airways flights operating at LaGuardia, and as might be expected, the airline says it will trim employment there to match. TheStreet.com reports the carrier has announced that 229 customer service agents and fleet service workers will be laid off in two groups, one on March 25th and the rest on July 11th. The good news? Delta, which will now have more slots at LaGuardia, says it will need as many as 700 more employees there. And U.S. Airways is expected to announce the addition of some jobs at Reagan National sometime after the first of the year to match its increased presence there. The FAA, which has left amateur builders of some aircraft classes in a state of regulatory limbo since 2008, has finally issued updated fabrication and assembly test checklists for its inspectors to use in evaluating home-built rotorcraft, weight-shift aircraft, and powered parachutes for compliance with what's known as the 51% rule. The checklists will also serve as a guide for builders who have been left to wonder if they'd spend years and thousands of dollars building an aircraft which would be denied an airworthiness certificate based on a local inspector's decision it didn't meet the major portion requirement based on the old generic checklists. The FAA's new checklist documents were posted October 21st, but apparently the FAA did not notify designated airworthiness representatives at that time. They'll be expected to begin using the new checklists immediately. Find the FAA document using the FMI link in the text version of this story, dated December 29th, at aero-news.net. And finally, as part of the annual Alaska Days festivities in Sitka this year on October 18th, organizers planned to host an appearance by a World War II-era twin-engine amphibian owned by Noel Rood of Washington State that required permission from the FAA to fly it there. That permit was finally issued December 16th, 2 months after the Alaska Day celebration ended. The Associated Press reports that a message left with the FAA's regional office in Renton, Washington, has not yet been returned. Maybe things can be worked out in time for the sesquicentennial in 2017. Well, that wraps up 2011. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next year. Have a clear and unlimited day.